I could let you go. As was announced, the scripture reading for this evening will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Matthew 18, 15 through 20. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Well, I'm excited. I believe, where did the song leader, where did he go? Did you look at me when you finished singing that hymn? He gave me the look. But anyway, it is good to be here on this evening. And again, there you are smiling. By the end of the week, I may get up here and you may not be smiling. I may say something that may not set right with you. You may get offended, but I want you to understand, me personally, I would not offend you. You may get offended, but it will not be because of something that I said coming from my own mind. It will be something that comes from the Word of God. And so I want you to take heed to that and understand again that all that we do, all that we say, is because we love you and we care about your soul's salvation, as I would hope that you all care about mine as well. I met a couple of more people on this evening, and those names, only one of two I will remember. And one of them is because she said, "This, I have an old name," and I'm not going to call her name, so y'all don't go and try to find out who she is. But it is a she. Okay, I just want to point that out to you. It is a she. But to be here, to get to talk to each one of you, is a blessing, because we're all family. If you are a member of the body of Christ, we are family. And wherever we go, we will have family. And we will have people that genuinely care about other Christians and will do all they can in their power to help them, not only in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. That we all may grow together in the Word of God and understand and appreciate what we have in Christ. And here, I believe that Brother Dunn will agree with me on this. And if he don't, then hopefully, according to Matthew chapter 18, he'll come to me and me alone and talk to me. But By no doubt, every preacher in a congregation of the Lord's people would hope to have elders that would lead them in the right direction. And I have been a member of the Lord's church since 1988. And I have been in two or three different congregations that have had elders. And I've also been in congregations without elders. And some of them that I was in that had elders did not really and truly have elders, if you know what I mean. If you don't know what I mean, by the end of this lesson, hopefully you will. Because we need to understand the importance of, Mr. Song Leader, did you take the good clicker? Yeah, that's wrong. And I know I should have went back there to him and him alone, because I have a problem with that. Thank you. Y'all are just making this easy for me. All right, God's standard of authority. That's what we're going to be talking about on this evening. You know, I tell young men, old men, whoever desires to preach God's word, if you ever get behind the pulpit and you just feel comfortable with where you are, you need to sit down. Because every time I get up, I have this certain feeling, you know, butterflies, some may call them, nerves is what I call them. And what you all are doing this week, so far, just only one day, y'all are just making it easy. You know, with the song leader, where is it? Hi, how you doing? That just kept clicking this morning. I'm blanking. It was him. It wasn't this thing. Right? It was you. And then the other song leader going to take the clicker with him. What you going to do tomorrow night? What are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to be here, though. I'm going to be here. I'm ready for whatever you have to throw at me, because God is on my side. All right? All right, God's standard of authority. That's what we're going to talk about on this evening. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. That is this umbrella that we're looking at and that we're talking about. God being God the Father. Jesus being God the Son. The Holy Spirit being God the Holy Spirit. We have to look at those three. Understand that there are three in the Godhead. Whereas some would say that there is only one God, and that person that says that there is only one God, he is right, but yet he really don't know what he's talking about. Because when you look through the Bible, again, it points these three out as being God. These are three separate beings in the Godhead. God is not the Son, the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is not the Son. However you want to look at that, I don't have that triangle up here on this evening, that's not my lesson. But I want you to understand, we need to look at these three. We need to understand that at one time, Jesus here on this earth prayed to the Father. And as he prayed to the Father, because he understood the relationship that he has with him. And then we find Jesus telling his disciples that he was going to send back a helper, a comforter to them, which is the Holy Spirit. Three separate beings in the Godhead. We have to understand that authority there. Then we find, when we talk about the church, we talk about the church in the sense of the church being universal. And understand the church being universal. Again, we're going to break it down, and we're going to come and we're going to talk about the church being the local body of God's people. But understand that you have Jesus, who's the head of the church. Then you have the elders who are over that local congregation. Then you have deacons, you have preachers, and you have members. Now, I can take this and really can't go totally in reverse, but before you can have elders, deacons, and a preacher, you have to have members, all right? And so, therefore, the gospel message is taught according to how Jesus wanted to be taught in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. You don't have to turn there right now. We'll get there a little bit later. I just want to say that. But you have this outline here of the church. And then we continue and we talk about man, woman, and child. All right? And now, I mentioned this morning, I believe I started out talking about man, and then I said wife. And so I want to just really and truly stress the importance of these three right here. I should have put on there, but I didn't, because we know that man is over the woman. I should have put on here husband, wife, and child. We know that sometimes it doesn't happen like that because people do things that they're not supposed to do, and doing that is a sin, but then you still have the woman and the child, which that's okay. But understand that in the home, the man is the head, then the woman, and the children fall into subjection. But all are supposed to be subjective to one another, submitting to one another in a sense. And then we go and we talk about the workplace where you have a CEO or a boss or a worker, all right? The worker don't go to the CEO and say, hey, let me tell you how to run this company. Nor do he call up his boss and say, hey, you know, I don't like the schedule that you have given me and I want to change all of those things. See, there's an order that things need to be done. And that's where we have to take and listen to those things. And then you have, and I'm so sorry that you can't see all of that, but you have the governing authorities. You have the president, the governor, the mayor, and the city officials. All right, you have all of those. And now are we going to always agree about all of these situations right here, all of these ways that we look at the authority of God? Because God has something to do with all of these. You may not think it, you may not see it, but God has something to do with all of these. It is according to his authority that we need to understand that we have something to do within the local congregation. We have something to do that we need to do within our families. We have something to do out there in the workplace. And then we have something to do in the cities in which we live. We have to understand the authority. Now, if any of these, and I'm not, you know, I'm going to exclude God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and even looking at the second row there, looking at Jesus, but elders, deacons, preachers, members, man, woman, child, CEO, boss, worker, governing authorities, the president, the governor, the mayor, and the city officials, if any of those say anything contrary to the word of God and expect you to do it, you don't have to do it. Oh, you're saying, oh, if I don't do it, I'm going to get in trouble. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. But who are you afraid of? Are you afraid of man? Or are you afraid of God? See, we need to understand that when somebody tells you to do something that's not right, you have every right to reject that. And do not think that you're going to have to pay for that come judgment. The right things are the things that we need to understand that we need to do, and we need to keep those things in the forefront of our minds. So God's standard of authority. God's standard of authority. In 1 Peter chapter 2. And the verse is 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse is 13. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Put to silence the foolishness of ignorant people. Now, understand this word ignorant here. A lot of times you may call someone ignorant. And the reason that you're calling them ignorant is because you know that they know better. But yet they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But yet there are those that are ignorant because they do not know. And there's no sin in not knowing something. You need to learn what needs to be done and you need to do those things. And so again, when we do the will of God, when we are subject, you know, for the Lord's sake to every human institution, understand that the oldest institution that God has ordained is the family. And we need to be subject to that. And we need to understand the importance of what he says in reference to man. That man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. And they shall become one flesh. And see, we need to understand the importance of that. Why? So that they may multiply. They may do what is right. And so God created man and woman different. Yes, he created them holy, but he created them different. In order for them to multiply. And so when you think about the governing authorities, when you think about the rules and the regulations or the laws that men are making, and when they say that two men can marry or two women can marry, they're going against God's word. And even when the courts, they stress the importance of you need to uphold that law. And I know there's others saying, no, you don't need to uphold that law. But when the courts say you need to uphold that law, I always want to remind people that the courts say that they believe in God's word. How so? How can they truly say that they believe in God's word when they are going against the authority of God? When they're saying that two men or two women can marry and it is okay. And we can talk about a whole lot of other things that the courts say that are right, where God's words say that they're wrong. But that's going to take a while. And we do have a little time. We have all week, don't we? But we're not going to get off into all of that. But I want you to understand again, that we need to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to emperors as supreme or to the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. See, we have a court system. We have a penal system. We have that system put in place in order that individuals that do wrong, that they get punished for doing wrong. Yes, we know that some that they go off into the penal system, that some of them get their lives right. They understand the importance of doing the things that God is pleased with, and then they find themselves, you know, searching through the Bible and somehow or another, you know, this is what they always say. You know, those individuals that are in jail, they found Jesus. I want you to know Jesus has never been lost. The one that was lost was the ones that were not doing what they were supposed to do. Now, understanding and being obedient to the gospel is what we would hope all men would do. And yes, we have a responsibility to go into those jailhouses and to preach the truth to them. And if they cannot obey there because of, again, the laws that men have put in place, as soon as they get out, they need to be obedient unto the gospel message and live according to what God or how God wants them to live. And then again, of course, we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 16, where why are we talking about these things? Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture. And if we don't use all scripture, we are doing people an injustice. And we need to continue to look at the word of God and do the things that God wants us to do. So when we look here at 2 Timothy 3:16, again, as we read this and talk about it, he says, all scriptures breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, a lot of people don't like for you to tell them that they're wrong. And they are wrong for not liking that. A lot of people don't want to be corrected in anything that they're doing. So therefore, they continue to do wrong. But we all need to accept, you know, rebuking. We all need to, you know, understand reproof. And we all need to understand that when someone corrects us, that we need to do what we know to be right, so that we may be all right in the eyes of God. But again, as we think about this subject here, God's standard of authority, we have leaders that people, you know, just do not want to follow. And they don't want to follow them because of whatever the case may be. I'm not going to stand before you tonight and talk about politics, because I understand that politics and preaching God's word, they do not go hand in hand. But I do understand that God has told us certain things in his word that we need to follow. And here in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, Romans 13, verse 1 and 2, he says again, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Why is this man there? Why is this woman there? Think about it just for a moment. Why do we have the leaders that we have? The Bible has not changed. God's word has not changed. He says, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. My father-in-law used to tell me many years ago, he used to say, Melvin, that's your president. And I would look at him and I would say, he's yours too. And I'm not going to tell you what president that was. But that's what he used to say. Now, I want us to understand, where do we live? We live in the United States of America. And when we have men that have been placed or women that have been placed in authority, in governing authorities, in high positions, they belong to us. No one else. They belong to us. We can't give them to some other country. They belong to us. And so we need to accept what God's word says and we need to be subject to them. But again, if any of those governing officials say or do anything against God's word, we do not have to follow them. And if we do follow them, we are just as guilty as they are, as it was pointed out this morning with Uzzah. Where did it all start? That's what we need to go back and ask ourselves, right? Where did it all start? See, what we're going through in this world today, it is nothing new. We've always had leaders that people did not agree with. We've always had leaders that people, you know, would follow, and they would follow them because they were leaders. And I want you to know again, when we get off into the second part of this lesson, there's some leaders you just don't need to follow. Some you just don't need to follow. But there in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, very, very simple. You know, I heard this verse a lot when COVID hit. And again, we should have heard it. Because man was trying to get us to do certain things or tell us that we couldn't do certain things. See, there were some congregations of the Lord's people, and I don't know what you all did here at Brown Street, and Brother Wright hadn't told me anything, but there were some congregations that did not do what God was pleased with. And there are some people that will never set foot in a place of worship again because of what man decided that they wanted to do. I want you to know, we come here today to worship God. We came here to worship God, and Brother Wright said it, and I said it this morning. We came to worship him in spirit and in truth. There is not an alternative to worshiping God. Not an alternative. No way, no shape, no form is there an alternative to worship God other than worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Acts chapter 5. Verse 29, Acts 5:29, very simple verse. He says, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must. You don't find that word, you know, too often in the Bible. But when you find it, you need to look at it. That word must, M-U-S-T. It is not if you want to, when you want to, how you want to. He says, must. We must obey God rather than man. God rather than man. So everything that I've said from 1 Peter chapter 2 to Romans chapter 13, who's really supreme? God. God the Father. And we must obey him rather than man. Which gets us into talk about the leaders of a local congregation. The leaders of a local congregation. And this is the elders. The elders. And again, I know that you all, from talking to Brother Wright, you have three elders. And he would call them good elders. Some of you would call them good elders. I don't know anything about them, so I'm not talking about them. But we have had some men that were elders, and at one time they were good elders. But something happened through their life which made them become men that instead of leading the congregation, they just wanted to say, I'm an elder. That should not be so. We should want to look at God's word, and we should want to continue to uphold God's word, because God's word is the standard of authority. When we look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it gives the qualification of elders, deacons, and it says, likewise, their wives must be. the wives must be. Okay? So starting with verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, this saying or these saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. All right? I had a study with a man, and he wanted to argue with me, and he wanted to say that women could be elders. And the reason he said that is because the Bible that he was reading, it was from way back whenever, and it said, this saying is trustworthy. You know, and it talked about whoever aspires to the office of overseer. So he took that. It didn't read like this is reading. It read something different. But he took that to say that women could be elders. And, you know, I didn't really want to sit there and argue with him. I wasn't going to sit there and just, you know, just beat him up and say, no, that's not true, da 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 da. So I said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I began to mock him, really. I said, what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to give you that. If you want to say that a woman can be an elder, I'm going to let you hold that position. But don't stop right there with verse 1. Keep reading. Because God does not want us to be confused about who he wants in charge. And so it says, he desires a noble task. Now, by a show of hands, and somebody may raise their hand and somebody may not. I generally say, don't raise your hand. I'm going to go ahead and say it tonight. Don't raise your hand. But by a show of hands, how many of you women accept to be called he? I don't see no woman raising her hand. Because a woman don't want to be called a he. Because a woman understands that she is a woman. And a man understands that he's a man. A he is a he and a she is a she. And here he says he desires a noble task. All right. If you're still confused, keep reading. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. Okay. The husband of one wife. Now, the Bible definition of a husband is a man. The Bible definition of a woman or a wife is a woman. Now, Webster, he's changed. He changed his definition. Why did he change his definition? Because of man. Not because it's right, but because of man. And so again, when I'm talking about a husband and a wife, is how he has changed this definition. Where he says, you know, that two women, you know, or two men, one can be a husband and the other one can be a husband as well. But yet he says that they are married. Or the same with the women, two wives, two mothers, two fathers. That doesn't constitute a family. That doesn't constitute the husband of one wife. When we look at this and we talk about it and we look at what God wants us to understand is that this position is for a male figure. Not a female, but a male figure. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, but a lover, not a lover of money. He, again, must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? How? That's a male, isn't it? If anybody disagree with me, you know, take it up with me. We'll be glad to talk about it. We'll be glad to search the scriptures and look through what he says. Well, what did he say in the very beginning? That a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. It's not going to change just because you don't like it. So again, this position of an elder is for a man. And we continue there, and he says, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. He is a man. Simple, isn't it? But there's some confusion somewhere, but the confusion does not come from God. The confusion comes from man. because man want to do what they want to do. Now, when we talk about this subject of elders, deacons, you know, how this is the position for a man. And a lot of times we want to say it's the denominations that are changing it. Not anymore. It's the church, God's people, elders in the Lord's church. You know, they're beginning to say, you know, she can be an elder or she can be a preacher. Is that God's standard of authority or is that man? That's man wanting to change these things. And if you have not heard that, if you have not heard where elders are saying, you know, oh, we have the right to do this, then I'm not going to say that you're living under a rock. But I'm saying that you just need to do some research and you'll find that the Lord's people are straying away from the truth. And as they stray away from the truth, God is not pleased with them. Elders that have decided that they can do what they want to do. Yes, they may be ruling their house well, these men, in a sense. But when they start saying that, yes, a woman can be an elder as well, no, it cannot be. That man is no longer qualified to be an elder. To be an elder, there's qualifications that need to be met. And to remain a elder, qualifications that need to be kept. So therefore, we need to continue to look at these things and we need to continue to understand that God is not the author of confusion. These words are not here just to be here. These words are here to follow them. Now, if there's a congregation of the Lord's people that does not have men to qualify, you just don't say, okay, we want elders. We want to be scripturally organized. So therefore, we're just going to say that you're an elder. No, it don't work like that. He is not an elder if he does not meet the qualifications. So therefore, if there's no one that qualifies, then there's no one that qualifies. But you know what we need to be doing? We need to be teaching our little boys how to be men, how to be God-fearing, how to grow up, keep themselves, you know, in good graces with God. Keep themselves in good graces with the community. That they grow up and they become children of God and they continue to grow up. And then we need to teach our young women how to keep themselves so that they may find themselves a good man. And they may marry and they may have children and they may desire, these men desire the position of an elder. And that woman may want to be the wife of an elder. So we teach our children at a young age about leadership in the local congregation. We shouldn't wait till a man is 30 and 40 years old to teach him how to be an elder. We teach them at a young age. And as we teach them at a young age, we would hope that they would stay in God's word and continue to do the things that are right and pleasing before him. There's a lot of men that can never be elders because of things that they have done in their past. There's a lot of ladies that cannot be the wife of an elder because, again, she did not do what she was supposed to do as well. And so we have to look at these things and we have to consider these things and we have to continue to teach on these things. There are some preachers that will not teach on eldership. They don't have elders and they don't want to teach. They may have somebody in that congregation that may qualify, but they don't want to teach on that because they want to be in charge. I'm not that man. If I'm never in charge of anything but handling the word of God aright, I'm happy. I am ecstatic. But we need to be teaching about elders. We need to be teaching about deacons. We need to be telling the wives or the ladies what they need to do. Because if that man qualifies but that lady does not qualify, then that man is disqualified. So we need to understand that the children have a role to play as well. The Bible teaches us very plainly in reference to the children in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is the first commandment with a promise that you may live long on the earth. And then it even tells the fathers there in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. See, we've had men that said that they want to be an elder in the Lord's church, but yet they were disqualified because of the way they treated their children. or they were disqualified because of the way their children treated them. Or they were disqualified because the wife did not do what she was supposed to do as being faithful in all things. Or his household was a total wreck. See, we need to understand again, when we look at God's word, we need to accept the things that God has said, and we need to trust that his word is right, and we need to do things according to his standard. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when we talk about elders, leaders in the Lord's church, these are men that are leading God's people, and hopefully they are leading God's people in the right manner. So we find these words in Acts 20 and 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he ordained with his own blood. Okay? Which he ordained with his own blood. Care. Care. The elders need to know their flock. They need to get to know you. You know, come into your home if you invite them there. Know your needs. Meet your needs. Do what is right and pleasing before God. Again, we sometimes look at and we talk about the elders leading us in spiritual matters, and that is exactly what they need to be doing. But there are some other aspects of one's life that an elder can meet as well. But he has to know his flock. He has to understand his flock. There were some elders, and again, I said I was in a congregation where we had some men that said that they were elders, but they really did not meet the qualifications. We talked about lost souls. And as we talked about lost souls, one of them said, it is not my responsibility to go out there and to find the lost. Well, whose responsibility is it if it's not the shepherd's responsibility? When he loses one of his sheep, whose responsibility is it to go out there and to find that sheep? What did Jesus come to do again in Luke chapter 19, verse 10? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't say, they're not mine. Matthew 1:21 again, he came to save his people from their sins. Again, he did not say that they're not mine. What he did say, what he did pray for, Father, if this thing could be done any other way, let's do it that way. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. How were we saved? Again, look what he says there, which he obtained with his own blood, the blood of Jesus. Jesus gave his life so that you and I may be able to live. So we have men that are over the local congregation and there's a sheep that has gone astray. It is that leader's responsibility to go out there and find that sheep. And when they said that it was not their responsibility, I looked at them and I said, well, I cannot leave my family here under your care. I was getting ready to go overseas. I said, I cannot leave my family here under your care because you don't understand your responsibility. You don't understand what an elder is supposed to do. And we have men like that. But we, as the people of God, we have to bring it to their attention. And we have to ask them certain questions. And if they cannot give us those answers, a simple answer, then something is wrong. And what is wrong is when you stay there under that leadership. So I'm not telling anybody here to move. Hopefully, you know, you don't have that type of situation happen here ever. But you have men that are going to lead you in the right way, that care for the flock, the one that's among them. So an elder cannot say, I don't want to be an elder here any longer. I'm going to move across town. And when he moves across town, he joins a congregation over there and he automatically becomes an elder. No, it doesn't work like that. You do not take your eldership from one congregation to another. You have to qualify. You have to be proven within that congregation that you are a member of. So it's the local congregation. The elders are over a local congregation. They cannot be over two or three different congregations. Now, I have had and talked to men that understood their position as being an elder. And one, he continued to go overseas, and he would go overseas two or three times a year. And he came back and he said, you know, he wrote a letter and he says, you know, I'm stepping down from being an elder because I cannot effectively lead this congregation when I'm not here. In turn, I sat down and I wrote him a letter and said, I wasn't even a member of that congregation. I said, I appreciate you for understanding what your role was as you were an elder. And you understood that when you were not there and you could not lead that congregation, that you stepped down. I appreciate you for that. Because he was only doing what he was right. How can you lead when you're not there? And how can someone follow you when you're not there? So again, we continue to look at God's word and understand the importance of doing all that God wants us to do. In Titus chapter 1 and the verses 5, Titus chapter 1 and the verses 5, know again that we need elders. We need men that want to step up to the plate and be a leader in the local congregation. But we need, again, we need those preachers to preach on this, and we need people to teach on this that men may understand what they're supposed to do. And Paul, as he wrote here to Titus, he said this in verse 5. He said, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So every city was supposed to have elders. And it's a plurality. It's not one man, but it's a plurality. Two or more in a local congregation. This is what God is pleased with. And if God is pleased with it, man might as well be. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 1, Peter wasn't just an apostle of the Lord's people, but he was also an elder. So, you know, this tells me about Peter. Peter had a mother and Peter had children, because that's the qualifications. Okay. It says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd, listen what he says now, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. That is among you, that local congregation, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. The elders do not make anybody do anything. They do not rule with an iron fist. All the elders are doing is upholding the word of God, teaching it the way it needs to be taught, that people may follow it the way it needs to be followed, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not for domineering over those in your charge, but be an example to the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now, I want you to look at that. Look there in verse 2. He tells them to shepherd the flock that is among you. Shepherd the flock. And he says there in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd now appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Who may that be? The chief shepherd. The elders do not make the rules. All they're doing is putting forth the rules that the chief shepherd has already put in place. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he appears, those elders that have served faithfully will receive an unfading crown of righteousness. So tonight, if there's people, men that are serving as elders and doing a job that God is pleased with, we need to continue to pray for them. We need to continue to be by their side. We need to continue to follow them. Then we also need to pray for those that are not doing what God would have them to do. And when a congregation says that this is our elder, but yet that man does not meet the qualifications, we need to pray that they may change. And if we ever find ourselves in a congregation like that, we need to bring it to their attention. And if they do not change, we need to move on. And we've had that happen. We've had men that have split congregations because they want to just say that I am an elder. And then once that congregation is split, then they themselves leave as well. They have destroyed that local congregation, but what they have not destroyed is the church that Jesus built. Because he says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So let us continue to uphold the word of God. It is God's standard of authority that we need to be following. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you want to become one, that opportunity is yours. The Great Commission, once again, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, some would teach that the Great Commission was only for the disciples of that day. It has not changed. That commission is still the same. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the age. The end of the world, I believe one version says. So we need to understand that that commission is still in force today. So if you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in a watery grave with baptism, rising to walk a newness of life, and continuing to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to share his word with others, because there's somebody somewhere that needs to hear the truth and come away from error. And if you're here and you're strayed away, you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, ask for prayers, as Simon the sorcerer did unto Peter. Pray that what you have said, that it may not come against me. Pray for me. And that, again, is what we need to be doing for one another. So if you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.